Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
I love the reach of this radio show. A lot of you listening statewide, I appreciate you. You can also stream the show out of market by going to baldfacetruth.com. Grab the podcast as well. I've talked to a lot of youth sports parents, college football fans, and others in recent months about the coronavirus. Our next guest, assistant professor of quantitative theory and methods, Emory Oxford, epidemiologist as well. Good follow on Twitter. Zachary Binney is joining us. Where are you today, Zach?
Well, technically, I'm in the town of Oxford, Georgia, on campus. It's about a half hour east of Atlanta.
You're in unhinged college football territory down there.
I wouldn't say unhinged. That's a bit harsh, but yes, we do love our college football down here for sure.
Love it. You've done some really interesting work on kind of the viral spread of the virus, and I know a lot of people interested in the sports world and in this, but the bubbles in general, as you see them, the NBA certainly having some success there, but we've had mixed reviews in other places. What are your immediate takeaways, as we look at the bubbles? Are they working?
Yes, we have quite a bit of evidence that if you are a pro league and you're capable of getting everybody in the same place and taking strict steps to make sure that they're not infected, then shutting them off from the outside world and making sure there's no contact by which the virus can get inside that bubble, that's shown to have been successful in the NBA, the NHL, even Major League Soccer and the National Women's Soccer League. The problem is that those are expensive, they're logistically difficult, and they're a real hard psychological and emotional ask because they can require you to separate from your families for months at a time. So understandably, leagues are looking for other solutions, but those have been met with somewhat more mixed results.
I noted, and I know you did as well, Iowa has now paused workouts for its athletics teams. They had 32 positives last week, 93 more this week. You asked on Twitter, why did they wait? What did they think was going to happen? I think it's a great point.
Well, thank you. That's something that I think is really hard for people to comprehend about this epidemic, is that we like to think sort of linearly. We like to think that things kind of, they happen at the same rate, right? When you're in your car and you're pressing your accelerator, you're accelerating if you don't put your foot all the way down at kind of a constant rate. But with this virus and the exponential spread, you can go from just a handful of cases to a lot of cases really, really quickly. That's one of the dangerous things about infectious disease. And so by the time you see three or four cases in a group where there's a lot of contact, like a sports team, you have to expect that you have a real outbreak brewing, and you have to be really aggressive about shutting down until you can be sure you get the virus out of the line. And it seems to me like Iowa Athletics had more than enough cases to suspend last week, and they decided not to, with quite predictable results, a lot more cases.
We're talking to Zachary Binney, an epidemiologist, assistant professor of quantitative theory and methods at Emory Oxford, Oxford College of Emory University, with us. I keep hearing about the colleges, wanting to put fans inside the stadiums. And they talk about, 20% capacity or 40% capacity. What do you think when you see that?
I'm really disappointed in it. So, look, here's the thing. I am not, and I don't know any epidemiologists who are telling people at this point, stay at home, don't do anything, we're advocating for a lockdown. That's not the case. I am not telling your listeners to stay at home in their basements. But every step we take back has a risk and a benefit associated with it. Our job is to find things where the benefits outweigh the risks, okay? So when you talk about something like playing sports, like the NFL playing or college football playing, there's a real argument to be made for maybe emotional and psychological and mental health benefits and, you know, getting people physical activity, getting the players physical activity, especially if you're talking about youth sports. There are arguments to be made for benefits. And the risks, if you're testing everyone very frequently, may not be all that high. The concern is when you start talking about fans. Now, what are the benefits that you're adding? Somebody gets to go to the game rather than watch it on TV. I don't think it's too much of a sacrifice to ask everybody to be watching the games from home this fall. I think there's room to compromise on that. It gets the university a little bit of money, but it creates this massive risk for the potential, especially if people aren't behaving responsibly, of very large-scale spread events that put the entire community at risk. So to me, the benefits just don't outweigh the risks when you start talking specifically about having fans.
College football, you know, you have a limited number of players. I've heard people say, hey, you know, the you know, you lose so many players, then you have to talk about canceling. In your mind, where does it raise an alarm bell to you? Is it five positive tests? Is it one positive test? Is it 20? In your mind?
I don't think one positive test needs to shut down a team. I think if you just have one, you can do some really strict contact tracing, which is probably going to result in quarantining a lot more people than most teams are going to want to, because practices and games, by the way, if you can trace a contact back to a game, if somebody tests positive right afterwards, you know, if you've got somebody on your offensive line who tests positive, that whole line has got to be considered close contacts because they're breathing right in each other's faces for an entire game. Any defensive lineman that they've played across in practice, you need to remove them. Once you get to three or four cases, that's where you have to think you probably have an ongoing outbreak and need to shut it down for at least a week to let those cases, let the virus kind of show itself where it is, and be sure that anybody who's remaining is unlikely to be infected. And I think that's why you've seen these conferences create schedules with a lot of flexibility, right? Opportunities for teams to miss one or two games and still get those rescheduled. They recognize that this is something that's going to happen and going to need to occur as we get into the season.
Youth sports parents, especially in our state here in Oregon, you know, the high school season's been shut down, not playing high school football like some other states. Youth sports teams are practicing, but, you know, with restrictions. What practical advice do you give to parents who are talking about, hey, my kids really benefit from the health and the psychological well-being of youth sports, but what recommendations do you make?
Yeah, that's a really good question, because it is something where there's a lot more benefit and the risk is a little more nebulous and uneven, so more room for a compromise discussion. So here's the practical advice that I would give to any parents who are listening. You can grade any sport for your kids along three dimensions of risk. Is it inside or outside? Outside is better. How many people are involved? Fewer is better. How much contact is there? Less is better. So try to find sports your kids can do that are outdoors, have relatively few people, and not a lot of contact. Golf, tennis, track and field, baseball and softball, all solid options. Tackle football and basketball, really not great choices right now. Also, try to keep everything small and local. That gives COVID-19 less opportunities to spread. Find leagues that are taking things seriously. Look for leagues who do things like mandate mask usage and don't have a large crowds and large gatherings of fans, maybe even asking parents to watch games from their cars. And lastly, consider your own risk tolerance and your situation. So, for example, do grandma and grandpa live with you, or do they babysit your kids? Or do you or your partner have diabetes or other comorbidities that may put you at risk if your kids bring the disease home? Think about your personal risk tolerance and situation and how that plays into to making a decision about what your kids should do.
Great stuff. Zachary Binney is our guest, assistant professor of quantitative theory and methods, and epidemiologist as well. You and I were kicking this around earlier, but you know, the study from the CDC comes out and says 94% of those who died from COVID-19 had underlying health issues. Of course, people throw their arms up and go, "Oh, see, only 6%." What do you mean, or what do you hear when you hear that? What do you take that to mean?
Yeah, so it's an understandable misunderstanding, but this is not a surprise. I wouldn't even really call it a study. This is not data that anybody has been hiding by any means. It is very common, if you have ever looked at a death certificate, for people to have multiple causes of death. Okay, COVID-19 was the thing that actually led to your death. You had diabetes, but you couldn't have lived that diabetes for another 20 or 30 years. So it's perfectly possible for people to have two things wrong with them and for one to still have killed them. So there is really there is no reason to say that people with comorbidities died from COVID-19. That is a myth, an understandable misunderstanding, but it is a myth.
All right, Zach, a question I've been kicking around myself. My parents are in their 70s. They live in California. They've been talking about coming up to visit. There are no underlying health issues. My mom is saying, I'm going to get on the plane. My dad is saying, I'm not so sure. What advice might I give them?
That's another great question. What I would say is, then it is a little bit of your personal risk tolerance. But if they're coming to stay with you, think about quarantining you and your family for at least a week and getting tested a couple of times before they come, if you have the ability to get tested in your area. And then stay away from crowds and from opportunities for the disease to get in while they're there. In terms of traveling, we have actually not been able to track any large outbreaks back to a plane yet. So it may be, some of my colleagues have said, more dangerous to be in the airport rather than on the plane itself. But you're still going to be around a lot of people, hopefully most of you wearing masks, but it's not low risk. It's all about personal risk tolerance.
Zach Binney, I appreciate you. Thanks for your time. Thank you so much. Epidemiologist, assistant professor of quantitative theory and methods. Grab a podcast of that. Love what he had to say, especially with youth sports parents. Just to summarize, outdoors better than indoors. Less people involved versus more people involved. That makes sense to me. And ultimately, fewer incidents of contact versus more. It's common sense, and when you get to a point where you line all those things up, I mean, some sports do become evident. There are still questions out there. I have people in the youth swimming world who are saying, swimmers in the pools, they can't get clearance from the governor's office. I'm working on that. I've asked that question of Governor Kate Brown's office. What gives with pools? I think it probably pertains more to the fact that many of the pools that are involved in youth sports events are controlled by school districts or local parks and rec authorities, and the government is saying, hey, we're not okay having that potential liability. So I think it's probably more of a facility issue than it really is a health issue when it comes to youth sports and swimming. All right, you got the bald-faced truth? I'll take your phone calls at 503-417-7575. Oregon State was scheduled to play a Thursday game to open its season against Oklahoma State. Would have been this Thursday. Kicking off at Boone Pickens Stadium in the great state of Oklahoma. Would have been Oregon State at Oklahoma State for that season opener. Oregon would have been preparing for its home opener against North Dakota State at Autzen Stadium. Apparently, they had only offered North Dakota State about 4,000 tickets, but North Dakota State's ticket office had sold 8,000 tickets. Those North Dakota State fans are so rabid, I won't be surprised if they show up on Saturday. That's how rabid they are. Look, can I just for a moment sound like an irresponsible, unhinged college football fan? Will you permit me that? I'm on record being responsible. I spend most of my day being a responsible parent in charge of some kids, head of household over here, HOH. I just for a moment want to sound like one of those rabid, unhinged college football fans who would throw caution to the wind, wear a mask around my neck on game day. So if I could pull my mask down for a second and just be selfish and irresponsible, as some people are, I would just say this. Man, was I looking forward to seeing Oklahoma State, Oregon State on this Thursday night. It was going to be awesome. Today would have been spent with Jonathan Smith, Oregon State head football coach, joining us. Coach, what are you guys going to look like on Thursday night? Well, we're going to be better on defense, and I'm excited to see the guys play. And our quarterback, Tristan Jebbia, he's ready. I think he's ready to go. And, you know, we've got a good stable of running backs, and we're going to find out. We're going to be competitive. That's what he would have said. Mario Cristobal probably would have been on tomorrow's show. Hey, coach, what do you think about North Dakota State? Oh, that's the only opponent we have this week. Then he would have mixed in some mixed martial arts reference. He would have talked about how deadly North Dakota State can be, how they can catch you in a sleeper hold or something if you're not careful. And no, we're not looking forward, not looking too far forward at Ohio State. I would have picked Oregon State to probably lose close in their season opener at Oklahoma State. And I would have picked Oregon to beat North Dakota State by 2 touchdowns. I think Oregon was going to be that good. And North Dakota State, let's face it, we can talk some crap now. North Dakota State, great story, great program, not on the level of a Pac-12 championship contender. Okay? Just not. Let's get that out of your head. People in North Dakota wanting to say that they could have won that game at Oregon. I think they might have hung around early. I think it might have been a little scary. Maybe they would have scored here or there. But Oregon's defense, come on, was going to be epic. And Mario Cristobal's offensive line, that was going to be a sight to see. So if for a moment I can just be irresponsible, and I'm going to offer this same opportunity to Alabama, Adriana, and Judah Newby, you don't have to follow with a college football analogy, but if I could just be irresponsible for a moment and not be a responsible person, I would say, man, was I looking forward to seeing these Pac-12 openers this week with Oregon and Oregon State on the field Thursday and Saturday. Judah Newby, if you could be irresponsible, you would?
I don't think it's irresponsible to wish otherwise. I mean, that's just being honest. That's not irresponsible. Irresponsible would be to encourage everybody to show up for, like, I don't know, a watch party at the stadium. Like, you can allow yourself to recognize that that's something you were looking forward to.
But like, the responsible part of me wants to go, hey, they did the right thing. They shut it down. Don't put football in front of people's lives.
Yeah, We've been over this. Three other conferences are still playing, and we don't know quite yet if we're labeling them irresponsible or not. You know, we don't know yet.
I am.
Well,
I'm looking at him going, all right, how many weeks are they going to play before there's forfeits start?
Yeah. I just got the schedule from our broadcast partner of, Westwood One. They just sent out today their list of college football games that we can air for the fall. And there's a lot of SEC on there. There's LSU Florida on there. There's Georgia Auburn on there. And look, maybe this is me being irresponsible, but as a lifelong college football fan, I've got so excited in the last hour just looking at the matchups on paper. But knowing in the back of my head, it's like, this is, I don't know if we do get to October, but even just seeing the matchups on paper, it does something to you. It excites you a little bit. I think that's all right now. We'll see if we get there, though.
Alabama, Adriana, be irresponsible.
Well, this may be irresponsible to some people, but I was with a small group of my closest friends this weekend, and we were just having a couple of drinks at my apartment, just a very, like, chill night.
I was not there, so...
Well, yeah, we forgot about your invitation.
Oh, but, okay. Thanks.
No, but we were all just sitting around like, okay, are we going to, we should go out. And it's like, wait, we can't go out. It's like, this is it. Like, this is all. So that would be me being irresponsible, probably just like wishing the normalcy of like a Saturday night going out, hitting the town.
Yeah.
But yeah.
There's a lot of people out there who are ranting these days, and a lot of it is about masks and politics. I miss a good sports rant. I think that's one of the things that's been missing in the last few months is like we haven't had like the normal sports rants over the games, like the meteorologist at WXMI in Michigan.
Could be worse. Yeah. Has been worse. Well, because you guys are dragging me down. You guys keep... Well, every time I get done with the 7-day, you guys are like, oh, gosh. 4:30, 5:30, 6:30, and then you expect me to be chipper for 5 straight hours. It's miserable. I want you guys to say, wow, that's great news. It's going to be 60 on Friday. Well, I mean, what do you want me to do? Lie to you? I'll put 70 every day next time. God. Here's some wind, here's some temperature, 20s, feels like 19 or feels like 70, I don't know. Here's a 60, I don't know if that's good enough for you guys. Get excited, maybe I'll disappoint you with the 7-day here in a few minutes.
Ooh. There it is, Gary Frank in Michigan. I miss that. I miss, you know, I miss people ranting about their teams. Remember at Dan Cilio on WQAM in Miami ranting about the Miami football program.
This Canes disaster, I have never seen our defensive tackles this bad, ever. Horrific. Poor. That's a bad football team right now, the Miami Hurricanes. Bad. How did it get to a point where we don't have respect? Hey, it's one thing to get beat, but it's another thing for people to look down on us now. Like, we're like Eastern Michigan. Mother, I'm telling you, if I see another defensive tackle on the University of Miami sitting around looking for girls in the stands and not running to the football and putting a hat on someone's ass, you are going to be held accountable. I'm going to have an aneurysm in here. I am going to have an aneurysm the next time I see somebody not hit somebody. Son of a bitches, hit somebody. Hit somebody. Dude, when you got a quarterback standing there, when he does a quarterback sneak, do you know what I want someone to do? Pull a knife on him and stick him. Gouge his eyes. Hit him in the knees. Kick him in the balls. Do something. Show me you care. Jesus Christ almighty. If I see another kid.
There it is. Dan Cilio, WQAM. I've got more. But I think we're going to miss some of that this sports season, maybe. Leave it right here, our 2 o'clock hour.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.